In a world of violence and hate, the fruit of the Spirit can go a long way. Who doesn't like to see love, joy, and peace? Jeremiah says we need to be like trees planted by water with deep roots. These kinds of trees bear much fruit, and so should we as believers, as we display the Spirit's fruit. Today, why this is a key component of being ready for times of deprivation. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer's current series is on famines, deserts, and other hard places. We're wrapping up the last of seven messages in this series, so turn again to Jeremiah chapter 17 as we focus on developing a support system.
Now, I don't know much about trees. I can't tell the difference. I've never really taken an interest in it, though it may be something very interesting. But when I saw grapefruit growing on a tree, I connected the dots and said, this must be a grapefruit tree. Taking it in a very elementary way for me. Must be a grapefruit tree. The fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and all of that is the expression of the inner nature of Christ that comes from our inner man when we are planted beside a stream receiving the nourishment that we should receive. And it is supernatural fruit. Because these things do not come naturally, do they? But they come even to those who are going through extreme situations. Let me ask you something. How do you react to a time of heat and drought? Anger, complaining, bitterness, blaming. Blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord. His roots go down into a stream, and he bears the kind of fruit that God wants. When I was reading John 15 this morning, I was reading in a translation where it spoke about Jesus said, you shall bear much fruit, and it shall bring much glory to God. I love that. Much glory to God. You abide in him, the inner resources. This past week, I was listening to someone preach, and he told a story that he said was true. About a woman in Paris, a Christian woman who was attending an exposition there, and suddenly she had a stroke. Boom, she was out of it, and she was rushed to the hospital. And all that she could say was, bring. And over again, bring. Bring what? Bring food, bring flowers, bring this. What does she want us to bring? But then when she was able to regain some consciousness and some strength, she was able to blurt out, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. That's the inner nature revealing itself. The fruit of the Spirit in which God delights, and it bears the right fruit. But it can't come apart from faith. I wish I had some quick answer to the person who prayed that prayer that we referred to, where we simply said, we can solve your problems in a moment. It's going to come through the disciplines of the Christian life, but disciplines not in themselves, not legalistically, but disciplines that connect us with God, that enable us to deal with our issues, to deal with the bitterness and the anger and the resentment and the unbelief, so that we can access the water that is beside the stream. Remember George Mueller? He began all of those orphanages in England and never asked for money. It's not wrong at all to ask for money. I love to ask for money, especially if it's for other people, for missions, for children, for the ministry of Moody Church, because it has really to do with God and his glory. But Mueller said that for him, he wasn't going to, because he was just going to trust God and pray. But he said he did it because there were businessmen who thought that God wouldn't take care of them, and they thought they had to cheat. He said that there were older people who didn't think that God would take care of them in their old age. Now, he was living at a time when there was no such thing as Social Security. And then he said there were those who were the infirm, and they didn't believe that God would take care of them. And he needed to give an example that faith in God actually brings God's blessing. And that's why he had so many different orphanages with so many different miracles. Because we need models today of people who have their roots deep, deep beside a stream and who can cope when drought comes. Few observations that should be life-changing for us. First of all, a drought clearly reveals what is in our inner man. Isn't that true? Because it's in the time of drought that you either show that you're a shrub or you're a tree. It reveals that which is within us. Our response to the circumstances of life is really determined upon the pressure that is on us and what comes out when we are under pressure. There's a second lesson, and that is that drought gives us a wonderful opportunity to witness for Christ. A wonderful opportunity. Because just think of it. If you're going along a desert, as I've had the experience of doing, and then in the distance you see an oasis, you know right well that there must be water there. When drought comes, when the famines come, when the desert come and the hard places, when people who know us see the way in which we react to the circumstances of life, the same debilitating circumstances that they experience, and we handle it differently because we're fruit-bearing Christians, that's when they begin to ask us, what is it within you that enables you to do that? Where do you find the inner strength to be able to accept and to be able to pray and to be able to believe even when there's no evidence for why you should believe? What is the secret of the inner strength? You've heard me talk about Cyprian, who lived in North Africa in about the year 250. During the days of the plagues, Cyprian said the plagues were the best thing that ever happened to North Africa. It is during the plagues that Christianity spread in the early centuries all throughout North Africa. Why? Because, said Cyprian, Christians died differently. It was said of the Christians, they carry their dead as if in triumph. And the pagans, looking at this, said to themselves, where's all that hope coming from? Where's all that strength coming from? How come you have the inner resources to cope? And you see, we witness when the drought comes and when the deserts enclose upon us. I conclude today with a simple question. Are you a shrub or are you a tree? You remember that story that I've used before, that one of my staff members actually asked whether or not it was true, and it is true. In Canada, there was a group of people along a street that had a boulevard in the middle, and somebody came along and said that if you pay me money, I'll plant trees all along the street here. And so they pooled their money, they discovered how much it cost per household so that they could enjoy these beautiful trees. So the men came and they planted the trees, and day after day, week after week, they were being watered, and all that they did is turn brown, until somebody had the presence of mind to reach down and to just rip one of them out and discovered that none of them had roots. What the guys had done is they had cut off the branches of these evergreens and just stuck the branches in the dirt. And it looked for a while as if they were real trees, but they weren't. Let me ask you, Jesus said these words, every tree that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted. That's why I have to ask you today, are you a shrub? Are you actually a tree? Have you been planted by God? And the way in which we become planted by God is to remember that Jesus Christ's death and resurrection was a substitute death and resurrection. And if we believe in him and if we trust him and remember that these resources of forgiveness and acceptance are free to those who come in faith and receive. Sometimes we work so hard at these things. Well, we should work hard only to develop faith. That's the whole purpose of the discipline of the Christian life, to develop the kind of faith by which we can believe God's promises. But As far as the resources are concerned, they all are really a free gift. You can be planted by God. The stream of water is free. The nourishment is free. What we need to do is to receive it and take the time to receive it by faith. When Jesus said, "This is my body, which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." He was saying to us, remember this. My death was not simply an example. My death was a substitutionary death. This do in remembrance of me. And he was saying that because of his death and resurrection, we can have eternal life. So, no easy fix for those who feel empty, but there is a place where you can fill up beside the stream. It's there for you, it's there for me, and God promises we'll survive the drought. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you'll take these words, however simple, and use them to remind us that we can draw near to you, and your word says that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. Show us that, Father. May we indeed, with hearts filled with gratitude, draw near in your presence, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, you have just heard the last in a series of messages entitled Famines, Deserts, and Other Hard Places. And I preach this series because I deeply believe, and I know that this sounds pessimistic, but that we are headed for some very rough waters, not only economically because of our huge debt, but also morally and spiritually. It appears to me as if our nation is going in the wrong direction. But I wanted to give you as a believer hope. And for those of you who do not know Christ as Savior, I want to give you hope as well. Our refuge and our hope is in Christ. And I wanted to remind all of us that he will be there for us. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus doesn't leave us when things become difficult? But actually, if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Well, I've said this a number of times on this broadcast, but at the end of this broadcast, which will happen in just a moment, you'll receive information as to how this series of messages can be yours. I want you to have them. And thanks, by the way, for your prayers. For those of you who pray for us regularly, we are deeply appreciative because without prayer and without God, there isn't much that we can do. In fact, Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Thanks also for your financial support. We look to the Lord for the continuation of this ministry and are so delighted that he is using you to help us. So from my heart to yours today, I hope that your day goes well. I hope that your focus will be Jesus Christ, no matter what trial or tragedy may have come your way. From all of us here at Running to Win, we wish you Godspeed. And by the way, go to the website moodychurch.org and learn more about our ministry.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Developing a Support System, the last of seven messages in his series on famines, deserts, and other hard places. On Monday, tune in for a series on what to do when you've been wronged. Our current series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about famines, deserts, and other hard places. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.